How you doing?
I'm good. Can you hear the AC that I have on?
No, that's fine. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I hear you perfect.
This is Dave Adute.
Hey, I'm Dave Adute. I am a comedian, writer, actor, and part of the comedy duo, Dave and Ethan.
You sound so much like your brother. It's eerie.
It's actually I am Dan right now. We used to play a lot of tricks on people when they called our house.
Yeah, as soon as you said that, I had a little bit of like my feeling in my stomach, like, wait, what did I call?
Yeah, people would call the house and they'd just say, oh, Dan, and then I would just keep going and he would do the same.
Yeah, now, I do have this clip when I talked with Dan. I asked him if there's anything specific that I should bring up when I talk with you.
Okay.
And this is what he said.
Ask him about his feet in middle school. He'll know damn well what I'm talking about.
So, do you know what he's referring to?
If you were going to say, Dave, I'll give you $100,000 if you know what he was going to ask about, I would have said the feet. He loves this. So in middle school, I was I was a growing boy and I was growing hair in areas that I wasn't expecting to grow hair. And sure enough, I had hair on my feet and I was very insecure about it. So I would shave my feet hair in middle school a lot. And my brother, he loved that. He loved that and he still brings it up all the time.
Is it weird to shave? I mean, I have shaved my feet before.
Do you?
Yeah. Is this a weird thing that I never knew? Like, was weird? Like, should I be ashamed?
Did you tell him that?
No. He said. He just left it at that.
He would have made you feel like shit about yourself if you had told him that you shave your feet also and given you shit for over 20 years.
No, I feel like it can get like pinched or something in your socks or shoes sometimes.
Yes,
too.
Exactly. It's uncomfortable. It's not comfortable and uncomfortable to the eyes.
Yes.
And yeah.
This is the part of the show where we talk about body hair.
This is it. This is it.
Welcome to the CISO C Show. I'm Andrew Steven. What I was kind of interested, at least as a starting point for this conversation, was sort of growing up and wanting to do comedy and seeing Dan get into comedy and sort of like, was there competition? Was there rivalry? Just all sort of that stuff. Like, what was it like having, you know, another family member already doing comedy?
My brother did the high school improv troupe in ninth grade, and I kind of went to some of his shows. I was in fifth grade and sixth grade, and I was really into it. And that's kind of when I, decided I would try out for the improv troupe as well at our high school, which is cool. Not many high schools do have an improv troupe, but we did. I tried out for that. So that is kind of how that was my first start into comedy, was that ninth grade improv troupe, which Ethan actually was also a part of.
We talked with Ethan on episode 29 of the CISO C Show.
I'm Ethan Bixell,
and he's part of a comedy group with Dave.
Hit comedy duo.
We met in sixth grade. We'd known each other since we were 12 years old. And I was always trying to get the laugh, even when I was like 10, 11 years old. But that was kind of the first time where I was performing in front of crowds.
Did he follow your comedy footsteps, or like, did you help ease the way? And then both of you ending up on CISO.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to ask him.
That was kind of the interesting thing. So my brother did get a lot of pushback, and I was kind of hearing it when I would hear my parents discuss it, and I'm sure they were discussing it purposely in front of me just so I would like learn a lesson. I heard firsthand from my parents and obviously from my brother and his relationship, his conversations with my parents. So I kind of knew that this was something that they weren't psyched about. But, you know, at the same time, I was just in college at this point. Mm-hmm. And so I was in college doing an improv troupe at BU. And then my brother was in New York trying to get his name out in the stand-up world. So
I think he got to see me come up and was always like one of the biggest, my biggest supporters and fans, and came to a lot of my shows and saw my career kind of grow, and especially on the college circuit, which, you know, his stuff, he ended up doing a lot of web stuff, which, you know, I think I'm outside of the demo for, but he's perfect for it. And mm-hmm. he started doing the Dave and Ethan stuff, and they, I think, I'd like to think that my influence in that was basically them realizing that they could turn it into a show at college, as a live show, which they did, and they toured very successfully around the country, and ultimately it led to their CISO show. But David doesn't do stand-up. He does a lot more sketch and improv, and you know, more of the millennial online-y stuff, which is pretty cool. So we kind of cover different niches. I mean, it's funny. David is an amazing, like, commercial actor. Like, he books commercials like crazy.
Yeah.
I cannot book a commercial for the life of me. Like, I just don't have the look or whatever, and he books them like crazy. And then he came out to LA this pilot season for the first time, first pilot season ever, within 2 weeks, like, booked a role on this, like, CBS pilot. Like, it was unbelievable. So it's funny. He's, like, tall and I think more handsome than I am. Way more, like, of a, he has like more of a chill demeanor, and I'm like, I think a little bit more frantic energy and shorter, and I have a receding hairline. So we don't really go out for the same roles, but it's definitely fun to follow each other.
Yeah. And I mean, later on when I decided to pursue it professionally, it was, it, for me, it was kind of like a, I had to meet kind of a financial goal. So I was doing real estate. I was selling new development condos in Brooklyn. And for about 5 years after college. And it was a pretty horrendous job. It was a soul-sucking, horrendous job.
Yeah, how did that, how did that, like, was there any parallel at all to I mean, other than just like a work ethic? Or was it like, was it, did it make trying to do comedy, you know, more difficult having that type of job?
It didn't, in that you're able to make your own hours if you do real estate.
Yeah.
So I kind of didn't have to, I had to answer to people, but I didn't have to be somewhere at a certain time, and I could take as much time as I wanted off, which was nice. But I kind of had this thing in my head that I'm not going to do comedy full time unless I, until I can make as much doing comedy as I am doing, real estate.
What was it? I mean, when was that tipping point where you were able to move into comedy full time? Was it when you and Ethan started doing the college tours, or did it happen before that?
Yeah, it was the college tours.
This all started because Dave and I put up a video on YouTube in which we asked women to double date us.
This is Ethan Fixell again.
We went on like 200 double dates together, and that just launched us into this YouTube series that became a live show that then became, like, you know, a tour.
And our first year doing the college tours, we did 5 shows. And during those 5 shows, I was still a full-time real estate guy. So, you know, it was very much a part-time gig. And then the following year, we did like 15 shows. And it was still, you know, secondary. And then there was a period where we had like 60 shows in a year, and I was still doing full-time real estate. So I was literally like talking to clients 10 minutes before getting on stage. And then I'd get off stage and I'd get like an email from a developer like, hey, why don't you get back to me sooner? And it was just starting to, they were starting to mess with each other. I was like able to pull off this double life for a long time. And then once the comedy just really started picking up and we were really touring pretty heavy, I couldn't do both anymore. I mean, it was just like, I was doing a poor job at being a real estate broker, and I wasn't giving it all in my in comedy.
What was it like when you were able to leave the real estate behind and just do comedy full time?
It was pretty great. I mean, it was you know, there was that, back to my brother. There was a couple moments where I was definitely envious of his lifestyle, and you know, I remember, I think I was crashing at his apartment in Manhattan, and he was packing his bag and leaving to go on tour, and I was going to an office to go do real estate. So that kind of was like, shit, man, I'd love to have that lifestyle.
I definitely think when he started getting into comedy in the beginning, I felt a little jarred, like, you know, 10 years ago. But I think, you know, now it's way more of a mutual respect thing. And, you know, if I can help him out, I do. And if he can help me out, he does.
So I kind of planted that seed in my mind early on, and then eventually got to do, you know, a shitload of those college shows. Which turned out to be a blessing and a curse. I mean, it's a blessing because you're making a bunch of money, but it's a curse because you're not really like in the New York comedy scene anymore. Mm-hmm. And you're just not in town as much, and you're playing to a very distinct, demographic.
I'm just so interested in people's, you know, sort of journey from, you know, just an interest to like actually doing it, putting in the work. And I know it probably gets talked about a lot on these sort of podcasts, and, you know, you hear everyone's origin story and stuff like that. But yours is so interesting because it just seems like you have your brother, you have Ethan, you're surrounding yourself with these sort of people that are on similar paths.
Right.
Like, how was that accidental, or was that, you know, subconscious, or was it like, no, I want to pursue this thing. I need to, you know, go to these places, go to, you know, like take these classes, surround myself with like-minded people.
Yeah, I think that had a little to do with it. I never thought I could, do it professionally. I never had the confidence, I guess. The confidence came with we'd get a lot of views on a video, and I'd be like, oh, maybe this is great. And then we started doing the live show in Manhattan at the Pit, and we were selling out and getting great laughs. So, I mean, the confidence came. And I think once we started doing the live show at the Pit, that's when I was like, shit, this might be able to turn into something bigger than, you know, just us sticking around. But yeah, I think a lot of the success of Dave and Ethan definitely has to do Ethan's work ethic, like with organization, and he was our editor. He did he spent so much fucking time editing those YouTube videos, mm-hmm. Which I could not have done on my own, and I couldn't have hired an editor because we didn't have any money from it. So it was that was pretty, you know, extremely valuable to our success.
Soon after, Dave and Ethan got the opportunity to pitch to Above Average and YouTube about creating a series. And one of the ideas they had was sort of a short form version of this live show. And they picked it.
Above Average has a relationship with CISO. They are, you know, they like Above Average has a certain style of comedy that they try to portray, and the type of talent that they bring in is a certain style. And I think CISO kind of thought that Above Average style would fall within their whole brand and what they were going for.
The audience was similar.
Exactly. They were looking for pitches from Above Average, I believe, and caught wind of our show and asked us if we could expand on the 4-minute format and make it a longer 20-minute format. And we did, yeah. I mean, but it was pretty nice. I mean, they expressed the interest before we could take it out to anyone else. And we were super excited about, you know, joining something new.
And while Dave and Ethan still do things together, they're also their own people. We talked with Ethan about his writing and his passion for beverages and beer and alcohol. And like Dan mentioned earlier, Dave came out to LA for pilot season,
which I hadn't done ever. I was just kind of sticking around. And I got lucky enough to book a pilot for CBS as a very gay man. Well, almost mildly offensive, but I got a part as a gay man. Unfortunately, did not get picked up. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to focus a lot more on the acting stuff. You know, this CISO show we did was our first the first time we were given a show, and we were given a ton of responsibility on the show, and I kind of learned a lot along the process since it was my first time. But yeah, I mean, I'm spending the summer focusing on pitches, or, you know, I've written a pilot already, and I am doing, there's a lot of stuff that I would like to, you know, bring out to develop. And I think being in, or getting to where we've gotten, has kind of given me a lot of knowledge that could, you know, assist me in the future.
We'll be right back. But first, this episode is sponsored by Casper. And if you've listened to any of your favorite podcasts before, I'm sure you've heard this name mentioned. And there's a reason for that. I wanted to tell you a story. When I first moved to LA, I wasn't sure where I was staying. And some of the times I was crashing at people's houses. But I had an air mattress with me, and I slept on that air mattress for a while. Even when I first moved into my apartment, there was probably about a week or two that I slept on an air mattress. But when it was time to get a new bed and a new mattress, I knew exactly where to go because I'd heard so many people on so many shows talking about Casper. Now, it's easy to say that a Casper mattress is better than a cheap camping air mattress, of course, but I also couldn't bring myself to spend thousands of dollars on a mattress. I heard everyone talking about how Casper was made out of two different types of foam that makes it really comfortable. The term they use is obsessively engineered. And when I looked online, I saw all the awards and acclaim it had. But what really got me was the 100-night trial. That means for 100 nights, I could actually sleep on this bed. That's over 3 months. And if I wasn't happy, Casper would come, pick it up, and give me a full refund. And just after a couple nights on the Casper, I knew that I wouldn't even be needing the risk-free trial. So here's the thing. If you, like me, want a Casper mattress, you can go to casper.com/SEESO. That's casper.com/CISO. And get $50 towards any mattress purchase. Just use the code CISO at casper.com/CISO. And if you're not sure, at least go to the website and check it out and see for yourself. Once again, that's casper.com/CISO using code CISO. Terms and conditions apply. Thanks.
An interesting thing, I have like a life regret, which is interesting.
That is interesting. What do you mean by life regret?
So when I was in college, I started doing open mics. I was doing stand-up when I was like 20 years old. And I think it was called the Boston Beanery. And it was like a basement show. And I kept doing that. And I was started getting like pretty decent for someone who's 20 and an open micer. And I kept doing it while I was in Boston for 1 or 2 years. And then when I got back to New York, there was the whole, like, after I graduated from college, there was the whole, like, my parents, you know, being bummed out that my brother was doing stand-up. And then also, like, I didn't want to seem like the guy who was just trying to be like his brother. So from the ages of, like, 22 to 25, I just did no comedy whatsoever for those 3 years. And, like, a big part of me was like, shit, dude, if you just kept doing stand-up, you know, a lot of the great stand-ups started when they were 20 and just didn't stop.
And so you weren't even doing like classes or anything like that? It was just cut it out completely?
No, I did nothing. Yeah. I was just doing real estate.
That's crazy.
It was pretty crazy. And it was pretty, I look back at that as like lost time.
Was it like, were you just going to move on, or did you know you were taking a break?
I was writing stand up those 3 years, but I was never going to perform it because, I always told myself I was, and then I was like, oh, next week, next week, next week. And then I never did. Which was a big regret of mine. I mean, I really wish I just fucking, you know, really hit it hard and performed as much as I told myself I would perform. It's funny because I did it. I was, when I was in LA for pilot season, I did an open mic. And I was like, I'm just going to do an open mic with the shit that I wrote in that 3 year period. It's not like topical. And some of it was like, some of it was terrible and some of it really hit. It was pretty funny seeing how that material did. But yeah, I mean, so I think once the Dave and Ethan thing came around, it was something I really enjoyed doing. And it also was like, I felt like it wasn't like, oh, you're in your brother's shadow, because we were doing different types of comedy.
And it probably scratched a similar enough itch that it was sort of fulfilling that part of you.
Yeah, totally fulfilling.
Do you feel like you have to make up for lost time or anything?
There's a lot of, you know, we've had a lot of success. We were on the Tonight Show 4 times. Uh-huh. We got to this place with CISO. And one way I like to look at my career is, where was I last year compared to now? And, every year I think, you know, Ethan and I both respectively and together have been making progress in the right direction. So, you know, I try to focus on the positives. Do I think about that every once in a while? Sure. Sure, I do. But it's not going to get me anywhere just harping on it. So I think it does. It's kind of like a kick-ass, stop thinking about that bullshit and live in the present.
Well, I think it even, like, in a weird silver linings positive way, like, I think it's super relatable.
Right.
Like, I think a lot of people, like, I'm even thinking of my own life where for, you know, up until 2-3 years ago, I wanted to be a musician. Like, I wanted to be touring. And I look back at that switching, you know, I'm 30 now and sort of like switching career paths at 26, 27 and sort of how long I chased that because I thought it was like the only thing I could do. And I was too far pot committed, you know, like,
right.
And feeling much earlier, like, I want to get out of this. I want to get out of this, but not because it's like, I can't change now. Like, I don't know. There's something that's super like, I don't even know how to word it, but there's something that's just like, no, like, you don't have to, like, you didn't miss it, the opportunity. Like, yeah. Like, if things went differently, things would look differently today. But
right.
At the same point, it's like, no, like, you're here where you are. You are living in the moment. This is where you're supposed to be. And who knows? Maybe that's going to be your plot point for the pilot you sell, you know, 10 years from now, or the movie you make about a comedian who takes 5 years off. And
yeah.
So I don't know. Now, it's only fair. Is there anything that we can confront Dan with since he brought up your feet?
Man, there's so much. Let's just go with, since you went with hair, let's talk about his eyebrow threading.
Okay.
Yeah, he loves it. He sends us a picture of the hallway of the eyebrow threading place whenever he's about to go in. Yeah, and then me, never touched my eyebrows once. Nothing.
Yeah.
No wax, no threads, nothing.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just a different part of the body.
Exactly.
No shame.
No shame at all.
This is a safe space.
It's so safe.
where can people find you?
I just got like Twitter, Instagram, David Doot, that's my name. AHDOOT. Funny thing, actually, if you Google David Doot.
Yes, it shows your brother.
It says Dana Doot. Forever in his shadow. Forget it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how many shows you're given or how many times you're on The Tonight Show or how many pilots you book. You'll always be in that shadow. So yeah, don't Google me. But yeah, just David Doot is all my social stuff.
and people can watch the first season of Dave and Ethan Lovemakers on CISO currently.
On CISO, yeah. And you can watch all of Dave and Ethan's videos on YouTube. Just search Dave and Ethan. And you can actually see the first video that we put up, which was our stupid idea that made careers for the both of us.
Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
And thank you so much for listening to this show. As always, you can find more of us on Twitter at CISO Show. That's S-E-E-S-O Show. Or check out our website, CISOshow.com. Hope you have a great week. Bye.